Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
A couple of weeks ago, I asked our son, Ethan, what's the greatest Christmas gift you've ever received? And I really expected him to say maybe a video game or a toy that we've given him over the years, but to my surprise, he responded by saying, my life. Now, something you should know about Ethan, if you didn't already know this, he was born on December 23rd, 2013. And so when he said, my life, he really wasn't joking. He was being honest. For him, that was a Christmas gift. And I would have to agree with Ethan that his greatest Christmas gift was also the greatest Christmas gift that Sarah and I have ever received. I still remember his birth like it was yesterday. They put a little Santa hat on him, and they took pictures of him in a Christmas stocking. So when you look at those pictures, there's no question about what time of year he was born. You know that it was Christmas time. Now, he was born via C-section, and so Sarah was actually supposed to stay longer in the hospital so that she could recover. But on Christmas morning, the doctor walked in and said, would you like to go home for Christmas? To which we responded, absolutely. And so on December 25th, Christmas morning, 2013, we loaded Ethan into the car and we took him home. He is the greatest Christmas gift that Sarah and I have ever received. And with this gift came many more gifts. We have the gift of humor. Ethan has a wit to match his dad's. We also have a gift of relationship. We enjoy spending time with one another, watching shows like America's Funniest Home Videos, and home renovation shows, and game shows. We enjoy that time with one another. We also have the gift of education. Ethan loves to learn new things, and then he likes to come and educate us on the new things that he has learned. So because Ethan was born, we have the gift of Ethan himself, but then we also have all of these other gifts that come along with him. So this morning, we're launching into a new series titled Faithful. And if that sounds familiar to you, it should, because this is actually the same title of the first series that we were in at the start of this year. And so if you've been with us in the start of this year, then you'll remember that series that we were in. And at the start of the year in that series titled Faithful, we were reminded of the call that we have as believers, that we would be a faithful people in all things at all times until it's all over. This is really the call that we see for believers all throughout Scripture. As we move into this Advent season, Advent meaning the coming, we're going to look at not our call to be faithful, rather we're going to look at how God has proved himself to be faithful through Jesus Christ. So I said that Ethan was the greatest Christmas gift that Sarah and I have ever received, but as we think about the greatest gift that mankind has ever received, we need to look no further than Jesus himself. Jesus is our greatest gift. The advent of Jesus, or the coming of Jesus into this world all those years ago, with Jesus stepping out of heaven, putting on flesh and blood, becoming one of us, that truly is the greatest Christmas gift that mankind has ever received. Jesus is our greatest gift. But with this gift of Jesus, there are other gifts that come along with him. The gift of hope, the gift of peace, the gift of joy, the gift of love. These are the gifts that we are reminded of each year as we light these Advent candles. So as we close out this year with this final series, we're going to talk about these gifts that God has been faithful to provide for us through Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 3 through 9 this morning. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Now, as we look at our passage this morning, we're going to talk about God's faithfulness to provide this first gift of the Advent season, the gift of hope. And 1 Peter really is a good book for us to turn to as we think about this hope, because the book of 1 Peter was written to believers who were experiencing great suffering for their faith. They were experiencing unjust suffering for their faith. And the call that we see in the book of 1 Peter is for believers to endure or to persevere in the midst of this great suffering. Now, this letter was written by the Apostle Peter. And so Peter starts out this letter by reminding them of the reason that they are able to endure, the reason that they are able to persevere in the midst of this great suffering. And the reason that they can endure, the reason that they can persevere, is because they have a great hope. Now, Peter starts out this letter by addressing it to the chosen or to the believers in Galatia, Pontus, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, several different places that the believers were experiencing suffering and persecution. It's as if Peter were saying, no matter where you are, because of Jesus, you can endure. No matter where you are, because of Jesus, believer, you have hope. And so just as Peter said this to the believers then, I want to say this to you this morning. No matter where you are, because of Jesus, believer, you have hope. Amen. Hear that again. No matter where you are, because of Jesus, believer, you have hope. So this last week, my family and I, we traveled up to Tulsa, Oklahoma, so that we could spend Thanksgiving with Sarah's family. And while we were there, we also had the opportunity to pause and to remember Sarah's grandmother in a memorial service. And as we remembered Sarah's grandmother, we were also reminded of the great hope that we have in Jesus. You see, the same hope that we have down here in Stockdale, we were able to take with us up there to Tulsa. But the reality is that the hope that we were experiencing down here in Stockdale when her grandmother passed away, her family was already experiencing that same hope up there in Tulsa themselves, because the hope of Jesus is not limited to this place or that place. The hope of Jesus is for every believer in all places. It extends beyond both buildings and borders. So let me say it again, no matter where you are, because of Jesus, believer, you have hope. It's a hope that we can take with us no matter where we go. So when Ethan was younger, really up through his preschool years, he would take his baby blanket with him wherever he went. If we were in the car going to the store, he had that baby blanket with him in the back seat. He was holding on to that blanket. If we were going to church, he had that baby blanket with him in the back seat. He was holding on to that blanket. When we would go to his preschool in the mornings, he had that baby blanket with him in the back seat, and he was holding on to it. And many times I'd look in the rearview mirror in the mornings, and he would have his head covered with that blanket. The hope that we have in Jesus is a hope that we can take with us wherever we go. And so I would say to you this morning, like Ethan's blanket, let's hold on to this hope. No matter where we are, no matter what we might be going through, let's hold on to this hope, and maybe even let's cover ourselves with this hope from head to toe. So as Peter writes this letter, he reminds the believers then and he reminds the believers today that no matter where we are, we have a hope because of Jesus. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about this hope as we read our passage this morning. So with that in mind, let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by looking at what we see there at the beginning of verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." I want to highlight those words there, living hope, for you. And I want to ask this question, what makes our hope a living hope? And I think there's a couple of reasons that we can say that we have a living hope. First, we have a living hope because we serve a living God. He's the God that was alive before the foundations of the earth. He's the God that formed mankind out of the dust, and with his living breath, he breathed life into mankind. He's the God that was, he's the God that is, he's the God that always will be. To separate life from God is an absolute impossibility because he is a living God. We have a living hope because we serve a living God. Now, some might ask, well, didn't God die whenever Jesus was crucified on the cross? And so I would give this a reminder, while Jesus' earthly body did experience death, his nature as God and the Spirit of God in him did not die. He continued on living. In fact, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Not something he could promise if God were to die. And so we have a living hope because we serve a living God. But second, I would say we have a living hope because we have a hope that is unfading. Now, this might kind of be a silly illustration, but when I was a kid, I really didn't like buying black jeans. Because black jeans on the rack at the store, they were nice, dark, crisp black. But I knew as soon as I wore them once and I washed those jeans, they were going to fade, right? It was inevitable. They were never going to look the same. These jeans were going to fade. You know, when it comes to hope, so often it's tempting for us to place our hope in many different things. Unfortunately, many of those things offer for us a hope that is fading. It's inevitable. These things that we place our hope in, apart from Christ, they are things that offer a fading hope, a dying hope. If we place our hope in our money, it is a fading hope. It's really nice on payday when we look at our bank account and we've got that nice big total in the bank account. But then we pay this bill and we pay that bill and we go buy groceries even one time, and all of a sudden, that total looks a lot smaller, right? And so we can place our hope in money, but if we place our hope in money, it is a fading hope. We also really can't place our hope in ourselves and in our own memory. I realized that my memory was something fading when I was in the business world. You know, right now, I have a good memory from my childhood. I enjoy sharing a lot of those stories with you in my sermons. But as I get older, I realize that my memory is not what it used to be. And so when I first started working in the business world, I would have customers that would call and they would ask me to do something, and I'd get off the phone, I'd do whatever they needed me to do, I'd call them back, man, mission accomplished, I did good. But as my customer base grew, as the request grew, I began to realize I am not remembering to do all the things that I need to do. And so I realized, man, I can't depend on my memory alone. I had to start writing stuff down, giving myself reminders, right? We really can't place our hope in ourselves. We can't place our hope in our memory. Our memory and ourselves, we are a fading hope. Our earthly leaders are also a fading hope. And I would give this reminder to us as we get ready to move into another election year. Now, I believe we should exercise our right to vote. I believe that we should allow God's word to inform how we vote, that we might elect godly leaders that will lead us according to the authority of his word. However, even if we elect the best president ever, they're only guaranteed a reign of 4 to 8 years. And so we're reminded that we cannot place our hope in our earthly leaders. Even if they have a good reign, their reign is fading. Their reign will one day come to an end. But here's the deal. When we put our hope in Jesus, when we allow for our hope to rest in him and him alone, what we find is that we have a hope that will not fade and it will not die. It is a living hope. And so Peter says, because of his great mercy, he has given us, speaking of believers, he has given us new birth into a living hope. And so I would ask you this morning, do you have this living hope? Have you trusted in the one who will never fade, the one who will not die? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life? Do you have this living hope, or are you trusting in all the other things that ultimately will fade, that ultimately will not last? And if you don't have this living hope, then my prayer is that you wouldn't even wait till Christmas morning to receive this gift, but that you would receive this gift of this living hope through Jesus Christ even today. So Peter begins this section with this reminder that we have a living hope. Now, as we continue walking through this passage, there's just a couple of truths that I want you to see about this living hope as we to walk away with this morning. So the first thing I want you to see is that this living hope is provided by the resurrection. The living hope is provided by the resurrection. Let's look at the second part of verse 3 again. It says, because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This living hope is provided by the resurrection. So we've all heard the saying, Merry Christmas. In fact, we're probably going to be saying it quite a bit over the next few weeks. But there's a small town in Romania. They have a cemetery there that's called Cimitral Vesel. In English, that translates not to Merry Christmas, but to Merry Cemetery. And so the cemetery, if you go there, you will find brightly colored tombstones with silly epitaphs written on them to make the reader laugh. You're going to hear upbeat music playing in this cemetery. So the man that came up with this idea, a Romanian man back in 1935, he didn't like the idea of cemeteries being places of sorrow. Rather, he wanted the cemetery to be a place of celebration. And so he came up with this idea for the Merry Cemetery, a cemetery that would be a place to celebrate. Maybe it was a bit self-serving because he was buried there himself in 1977. But you know, as we think about this hope that we have in Jesus because of the resurrection, because Jesus conquered the grave, for the believer, the reality is the cemetery doesn't have to be a place of sorrow. For the believer, the cemetery can be a place of celebration for us because we are reminded, even though we may have experienced death on this earth, death has not won. The victory has already been had in Jesus Christ. So let me pause right here and say this. Because Jesus is alive, hope is alive. Because Jesus is alive, hope is alive. If Jesus had not come out of the tomb, if that stone had not been rolled away, if the women went there to prepare his body and they found his body still lying there lifeless, there would be no hope for us. We would still be bound to our flesh, condemned by our sins, destined for an eternal death separated from God. But that's not what happened. The stone was rolled away. The women didn't find his body there because Jesus had walked out of that grave alive and victorious. This was the resurrection. Jesus conquered the grave. And so, because of the resurrection, because Jesus both died and rose again, we have hope. Because Jesus is alive, hope is alive. And so even for us as believers, we can look at death, we can look at the cemetery and still have hope because our hope is in Jesus who is alive. So this living hope is provided by the resurrection. Second and finally, this living hope is present in various trials. Let's look at verse 6 again. It says, you rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials. This living hope is present in various trials. Now, I already said that the believers that Peter was writing to, they were experiencing persecution. They were experiencing unjust suffering for their faith. But the reality of what Peter says here extends beyond simply suffering from persecution. Rather, the truth of the living hope that we have in Jesus is something that we can carry with us in any and all circumstances. So I said earlier on that no matter where you are in Jesus, you have hope. But now I want you to hear me say this: no matter what you're going through, because of Jesus, believer, you have hope. No matter what you're going through, because of Jesus, believer, you have hope. You might be going through the loss of a job. Maybe you're going through the loss of a loved one, something difficult to go through this time of year. Maybe you're going through an unexpected diagnosis. No matter what you're going through, because of Jesus, believer, you have hope. So, some of you may know this already. Earlier this year, the pastor of Church of Christ, Kenneth Clapp, he passed away from cancer. And before he passed away, he and I, we had many opportunities to get breakfast with one another. And throughout the whole process of the diagnosis, to the treatments, the surgeries, and even when the doctors said there was no more that they could do, Kenneth never lost hope. He always had such a great hope. In our breakfast, he would always say, "It's going to be okay, because either God's going to heal me on this side of heaven, or he's going to heal me in his presence when I get to heaven. Either way, it's going to be okay." This is the type of hope that we can have as a believer, that regardless of what we're going through, we know it's going to be okay. It's either going to be okay on this side of heaven, because God makes it okay, or it's going to be okay when we get into his presence in heaven. But either way, no matter what we're going through, we know it's gonna be okay. No matter what you're going through, because of Jesus, believer, you have hope. So let me just pause right here and ask, what are you going through today? Call it to mind. What are you going through today? And whatever it is that you're calling to your mind right now, I want you to hear me. In Jesus, there is hope. In Jesus, there is hope. You don't have to live in despair in the midst of the trial. Rather, you can rejoice in the midst of the trial. And we can rejoice today, and we can take that joy and that celebration with us into eternity. In fact, this is what Peter goes on to say in verse 7. He says that because of this faith, because of the hope that we have, that it will result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We can have hope today, and we can have hope tomorrow and into eternity, even upon Christ's return. The hope that we have, it really is a gift. It's a gift that we're able to experience now as we await Christ's return, and a hope that will be completely fulfilled upon his return. But the only reason that we're able to have this hope is because we have a God that is faithful, and he has faithfully provided this hope to us through Jesus Christ. And so here's my challenge for us, that we would experience this hope this season, that we would be reminded of God's faithfulness today, that we would be reminded of God's faithfulness throughout this Christmas season as we are reminded of the hope that we have in Jesus. But if you've never received this gift of hope in Jesus Christ, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is your opportunity to respond. And maybe you're here today and you would say, "You know what? I've been finding hope in all the wrong places. But today I realize I need to find hope in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And so today I'm ready to turn from my sins, and I'm ready to turn to the only one who can save me, the only one who can give me a true and an undying hope. I'm ready to turn to Jesus Christ." If that's you, then as we sing, I would invite you to come. I'm going to be standing right down front. You can step out of your seat and you can come and pray with me. Listen, it's not going to be weird if you do that, because we have people respond all the time. It's completely normal for you to respond to the Lord's call. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, "You know what, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism like Calvin did this morning. I've never publicly professed Jesus Christ as Lord through baptism. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to make that commitment with you. We don't believe that baptism saves us, but we do believe it's something that God calls every single believer to do. And so if you've given your life to Christ, but you've never been baptized, let's make that commitment together this morning. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know that God's calling me to make this my church home, to join this church body on mission, to come alongside this church and to serve the Lord with this church. If that's you, I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Today, you can become a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do, let me encourage you to respond obediently this morning. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.